Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It got warm there all of a sudden, and you could smell the dirt again. The farmers were out in the field, still a little bit wet to be plowing. The loons are breeding out on the lake, and they're singing those mysterious, beautiful songs. Pastor Liz went out to make the rounds of the Norwegian bachelor farmers because April can be a very difficult time for them. They're stoics, the bachelor farmers, and they're Norwegian, and so they resist cold. They love winter. It gives them something to stand up to, and they fight off infection and depression. And then suddenly it's spring, and there's nothing to resist, and they get sick. They get sick, and the death toll is high in April when it gets warm. They lose their purpose in life. They die. Many of them die. They die of pleasure, of comfort, of relaxation. Most of them are atheists. It was their way of avoiding matrimony, and so she goes out to visit them anyway. She loves seeing old men. She walks around. She has big chunks of sirloin in her jacket pocket to pacify their dogs, and she carries a bottle of really wonderful port, and she knocks on the door. And if they let her in, they don't always, but if they do, she has some Dixie cups, and she pours a couple of fingers of port, and she enjoys being with them. They're getting old now, and they're coming closer to that point where either they will discover that there is a life after death, or they will not discover that there is not. And they think about this. She's not there to preach to them. She doesn't carry a Bible. If she needs a verse, she knows enough of them by heart. She loves to see them. Mr. Hoppy, especially. He is 85 years old, and yet his eyes light up at the sight of a young woman. She's 42, but young to him. To be an old man and still want to impress a woman, he recites poems to her. Same poems every year. Little memory loss going on. He recites, 'Twas many and many a year ago in a kingdom by the sea that a maiden there lived whom you may know by the name of Annabel Lee. And this maiden lived with no other thought than to love and be loved by me. He recites, breathes there a man with soul so dead who never to himself hath said, this is my own, my native land, whose heart hath ne'er within him burned as homeward his footsteps he hath turned. He recites, listen, my children, and you shall hear of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. 'Twas the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is still alive who remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friend of the British march, by land or sea from the town tonight, hang a lantern in the belfry arch in the North Church as a signal light, one if by land and two if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be ready to ride and spread the alarm to every Middlesex village and farm for the country folk to be up and to arm. He recites these with great pleasure to her, and it's so cheering to her. She's had kind of a hard week because the church council met on Wednesday night, and they voted in the budget, and there was no salary raise for Pastor Liz, though she works so hard, and she is so good. And they took away the travel allowance for professional enrichment, which really burned her bacon. It was just $2,000, and they took it away, so she was feeling bad about that. But she walked back through town from visiting the bachelor farmers, and she could hear singing from the park, and there was a bonfire, and she could tell it was high school kids. Fiddler on the Roof is the class play. This spring, Lamona Pearson is directing it. It's her favorite musical. And she's had to revise it and edit it because it's a small school. And so Tevye does not have four daughters. She only has one. And it's just Seidel. And the boy who plays Muddle, the tailor, cannot do Wonder of Wonders, Miracle of Miracles, so they've got to cut that song out. And the dancing is just basically the polka. But still, the Magan Dance boy is playing Tevye, and he loves this part. And he sings, "If I Were a Rich Man." And he sings, "Tradition." He sings this with real feeling. And this kid has been a hellraiser for years. He's a kid who was arrested by Gary and Leroy going around from mailbox to mailbox, beating him in with a baseball bat. He dyed his hair purple for a while. He's been nothing but trouble. And now he loves playing the role of the papa in the musical and singing those songs. And you wonder if what we have failed to teach him, he is now learning on his own by playing the papa of a family of Russian Jews under oppression by the Tsar. Miracles do happen, and this may be one of them. Arlene Bunsen is working on tradition. She's working on the tradition of grandchildren writing thank you notes to their grandparents. A losing battle, but she keeps fighting it. She tells Clarence, "What is so hard about picking up a pen and a piece of paper and writing, 'Dear Grandpa, thank you so much for giving me that class trip to Washington, D.C. What is so hard about it?" "Well," Clarence said, "they're good. They're good kids. They're good kids." Barbara Ann's daughter, Lindsay, lives in Ann Arbor, and she took the class trip to Washington, D.C. Arlene said, "I'm going to call them. I'm going to call. I'm not going to let that pass." "No, don't do that," Clarence said. Don't. He hates confrontation of any sort. So Arlene called, and she got Barbara Ann on the phone, on the speakerphone, and she said, "Barbara Ann," she said, "I just called to tell you what a privilege it was to send Lindsay to Washington, D.C. And we are so grateful that we got to do it. And thank you so much." Barbara Ann said, "You're welcome." "Been waiting for a thank you note from Ann Arbor, and it has not yet arrived." Arlene has been visiting her sister, Lena. Lena's in the Good Shepherd home. She is dying, 75 years old, of pancreatic cancer. And she is in good spirits for some reason. And she told Arlene last week that she wants to get married. She wants to marry Jack, her old boyfriend from high school, who moved back from Orlando after his wife died. He was a mechanic. He ran Jack's auto repair. And he has come back with his collection of jazz LPs, and he's cooking, and he comes up to the rest home every Saturday night, and he fixes wonderful dinner of risotto and a beautiful salad. And Lena said, "I want to get married again. Lowell died 12 years ago. And, you know, he and I had to elope because I was pregnant, and I just would like to have a wedding. I'd like to have a white dress, and I would like to have a horse and carriage." Arlene said, "Well, has he asked you?" Lena said, "Oh, he's interested. I know he's interested." "There are ways." "Well, don't rush into anything," said Arlene to a woman who is dying of pancreatic cancer. "Have you talked to Pastor Liz?" "Yes, I've talked to Pastor Liz, and she is happy to do it. She will do it for me." Pastor Liz, who has had this terrible, terrible cold, has come on. She was sneezing and coughing during the sermon last Sunday, which was the chapter in the Gospel of John in which Jesus appears to his disciples after the resurrection, and he shows them how to fish and where to put the net on the right-hand side of the boat. She was sneezing through all of this. She lay down, she took a long nap, and she went out to visit more bachelor farmers, and she came back that evening, and she had read somewhere that you can fight a cold by chilling yourself. And as she came back, she walked down by the lake, and she walked out on the long dock that's down below Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery. She walked way out to the end of it. And she thought, you know, I'm not going to be able to make myself wade into the water when it's this cold, but I could jump. I'll just jump in and see if that doesn't do me some good. Well, she was getting up her nerve and standing there with her toes down at the edge of the dock, and she felt a hand on her shoulder. And it was Jack. Jack, who said, "Don't do that, no matter how bad things seem. There's always an answer. Don't do it if you want it." And then he looked at her. He said, "My God, you're the Lutheran pastor." "My God," he said, "were you going to do it?" She didn't feel like telling him that the water is too shallow there to drown in. You'd really have to work at it. She said, "Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it." He said, "Would you have jumped if I hadn't come along?" She said, "I might have. I might have. But the water's very cold. I don't know," she said. He said, "But you believe in God, don't you?" She said, "Yes, but does he believe in us, is the question." "What made you feel so desperate?" She said, "You don't read the papers? You don't read the news? The refugees who are flooding Europe, and we have no idea what to do with them, and people dying, and Greenland is melting, and Antarctica and whole species are dying off. You don't read the papers?" He said, "Let me walk you home. Let me walk you home." And he did. He said, "If you want to come over, I'll fix you some risotto and play you some music. But promise me you won't do this again." "Okay," she said. The next day, Clarence Bunsen, who's on the church council, called up and said, "Are you all right? Is something wrong? You seem down lately." Marlene, the church secretary, asked her the same thing that same day. Four other people asked her, "Is there something wrong going on with you?" And that night, Monday night, that night, the church council voted to give her a raise of $5,000. Which brings her up to $32,000 a year. And they voted to restore the $2,000 in travel money for professional enrichment. And she's going to go visit her sister down in Texas. She's going to go down to Austin, Texas, and they're going to go off to honky-tonks. And as her sister said on the phone, "We are going to dance our asses off. We are going to dance our asses off." Some people have a different idea of professional enrichment. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.